A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.
Of course, we've just passed or coming up on the 20-year anniversary since the start of the war in Afghanistan. And while the war itself is now over, we need to make sure we're pausing long enough and have attention enough to figure out what the lessons are that we learned from it. Remember, one general said this was not a 20-year war. It was a one-year war repeated 20 times because we failed to learn lessons that needed to be learned along the way. Anthony Markham's resident fellow at the R Street Institute. He joins us now to discuss the AUMF, the Authorization for Use of Military Force. Congress passed this back in 2001. We want to discuss how it was used to go to war and how it should be used moving forward. To me, this is one of those crucial conversations that many of us are not focusing on as it relates to the role of Congress as opposed to the office of the president as the commander in chief. And Anthony, great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So let's dive in. For some of our listeners that may not have been following, we often hear this AUMF, most people kind of just move on to whatever is next after that. But explain for our listeners, what is that AUMF, and how has it been used? And then we'll get into what we should be doing moving forward.
Yeah, sure thing. So the AUMF is an acronym for the Authorization for the Use of Military Force, and there are several of them. You have these authorizations because, go back to the Constitution, Congress, contrary to popular belief, sometimes Congress shall have the power to declare war. So when the president wants to have the authority to have a military strike, military action, instead of declaring war, very often Congress will pass these authorizations. The 2001 AUMF, which is responsible for our presence in Afghanistan, was passed 1 week after September 11th, so the 20th anniversary will be on this weekend. And there are other AUMFs. The 2002 AUMF, for instance, led to the war in Iraq, and we still have other AUMFs that haven't been repealed. We have AUMFs from 1991, which concerned the Gulf War, and we even have an AUMF from 1957 concerning communism, which has never been repealed and is still actually on the books.
Wow, fascinating stuff. And I'm glad you brought up the Constitution. Of course, tomorrow is Constitution Day. 234 years ago that was put in place. And you rightly pointed out, Anthony, that it is Congress that has the power to declare war. Why is it that Congress continues to abdicate that authority over to the executive branch?
For starters, it's convenient. These are very important responsibilities. They're challenging policy decisions that are made. And often we see with many instances, whether it's looking at federal agencies, whether it's looking at often how we legislate, we often defer to the executive branch in so many areas. Foreign policy and decisions when to go to war has just been another one of them. And of course, there's also this structural advantage. The commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, has the military. The Pentagon is based within the executive branch. That sort of oversight, consultation is difficult work. And so often, Congress has been more than willing to push things off to the executive branch to have them handle it, really to the detriment of constituents. If your representative is not empowered to control foreign policy decisions, you know, in turn, citizens are unempowered as well.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, because if Congress does that, then when we want some accountability, it's very easy for a member of Congress to just shrug their shoulders and say, well, you know, it was a there was an AMUF. It was done before I got here, and I have nothing to do with it. So if you have a complaint, you know, go see the president. And so it sort of absolves them of any responsibility or accountability in terms of some of these real life and death decisions, and impacts all of us here in the United States.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's almost, unfortunately, it's become a convenience. And I think it's notable that, again, this weekend will be the 20th anniversary of the 2001 AUMF. How many members of Congress have entered Congress and perhaps have even left Congress without ever having to think about the 2001 AUMF. It was authorized well before their 10 years, and it continues well after their 10 years. That's something that doesn't seem sustainable and really doesn't seem to make sense, especially with, as you mentioned, kind of going into this, you know, it was discussed by one person from the military. This was a 20-year war that was fought 20 different times.
Yeah, exactly right. And so as we look at the path forward, the lessons learned, give us some of those lessons learned. And, you know, is this the time to repeal that? Is this a time for a different kind of debate in Congress in terms of that? We know there are moments where presidents do need to be able to respond or react quickly to global events. We get that. But what are the lessons we should learn, and what is the path forward?
I think some of the lessons, I argue that it's important to, if you're not going to repeal the AUMF, there definitely needs to be some sort of replacement. And I think it's important for policymakers who are hesitant, saying, look, the president needs powers. The war on terror is still present. There are a number of national security threats all over the world. That's absolutely true, and the president still needs powers and authorities to deal with those. But repealing the 2001 AUMF, or at least amending it, is not necessarily an indictment on two decades of foreign affairs. It's actually something that's proactive and responsible. And a lot of that is because the actual language of the 2001 AUMF itself is really not that helpful. If you look at the actual text, it deals with the people who perpetrated 9/11, Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan. That was the initial purpose of it. It's been stretched out of convenience to deal with, quote, associated forces. So that's led us to strikes in places like Libya, Somalia, Yemen, battling ISIS in Syria. But that wasn't a part of the 2001 AUMF. So the problem is you're seeing presidents across administrations stretch these authorizations beyond things they shouldn't be touching. If Congress actually gave them the correct powers, you wouldn't see that type of abusive language. It's almost like a rubber band. If you stretch it too much, it's not going to go back to its typical shape. And we need this separation of powers. We need these checks. And if Congress just defers it based on bad language and general language, again, the AUMF was drafted in 2001. We didn't even know who was yet responsible for 9/11. That's how broadly it's written. And so it desperately needs an upgrade. And I think that's one of those things you're seeing more and more bipartisan recognition of on the Hill, at least.
Yeah, and I do hope this is one of those that brings everybody together and where Congress can actually reassert some of that and at least get us something new in terms of an authorization for use of military force, because there has to be a better way. And again, I do think it's ironic that we're hitting these anniversaries, of course, tomorrow with Constitution Day, as you mentioned, the 20-year anniversary of the 2001 AUMF that, of course, was designed to deal with Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and so on. Those are critical things. This is a crucial conversation that not enough of us are paying attention to. Anthony Markham from the R Street Institute, always appreciate your insight. Thanks for joining us today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Great stuff as always from Anthony. And those are so important. Who has the authority to declare war? Guess what, folks? It's Congress, not the president. And Congress has got to step up, reassert that authority so we can have better debate, better discussion, more transparency and accountability in the decisions that are made for the United States of America. We'll be right back.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.